Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship of Memphis. We're in a series called The Life of Christ. Today, Tom Murray will introduce Luke and explain his part in writing the gospel. Join us now as Tom continues.
Well, I welcome you back to our second broadcast on our study of the life of Christ. And last time we found that the gospel writers were developing themes. Matthew's theme was that Jesus was the king, and then Mark's theme was that Jesus was the ideal servant, and John's theme was that Jesus was, in fact, God. That left us with Dr. Luke, and Luke's theme is that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. But now Luke was writing to Greeks, and as I told you, those Greeks were interested in the ideal man. Now, Luke is the only one in his gospel account that points out Jesus' development, how he developed mentally, spiritually, physically, and socially as a man. And because of the historical importance of the Greek mentality, this gospel was written by Luke to Greeks to show that Jesus was, in fact, the ideal man. Now, what we want to do is look at the first four verses of the first chapter of Luke so that he can tell us why he chose to write his gospel account. And as I reminded you, Luke is the first gospel writer who tries to put the events or accounts found in the gospels in correct chronological sequence. Now, Luke also has a special concern for the city of Jerusalem, and that is unlike the writings of the other three gospel writers, but I think you'll see that as we progress through this study. Now, when Luke is reporting what he will report to you, you might be interested to know that Luke was not an eyewitness to the things that happened in the life of Christ. So where will Luke get his information for his gospel account? Well, he will get it primarily in those formative years and in what he tells us about the early life of Christ from Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke visited with Mary, and he will repeatedly quote what Mary had to tell him, and so he sourced his information in Mary before she died and went to be with the Lord. Now let's go to the Luke account in chapter 1 of Luke, the first four verses. Luke said, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us." Luke said, "I wasn't there. I wasn't one of those eyewitnesses, but that has been delivered to us. It seemed good to me also," Luke said, "having now had perfect understanding of all things." He'd done his research. "From the very first," that is, from the beginning of Christ, "to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." So Luke says that his purpose was, he looked at Matthew, he looked at Mark, and he looked at John's account, and he realized that while Matthew had dealt with the king, and Mark had dealt with the servant, and John dealt with Jesus as God, no one had dealt with his humanity or Jesus as the man. So Luke will tell us about the humanity of Jesus, and he will then also put what he knows in correct chronological order for us, and that gives us a tremendous help. Now, I'd like for you to turn next to the book of John, Gospel, in chapter 1, and let's look at the first 18 verses, because John is going to talk about the pre-existent state of Christ. That is, Jesus always existed. He only became incarnate at his virgin birth, but he wants to talk about his pre-existence and also about his incarnation. John begins in verse 1 of chapter 1 saying, "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, I'm not going to read all that passage, but what I want you to understand is how does what we are going to study relate to John's introduction of Jesus in the gospel account? Well, you'll have to understand something about Judaism, and you'll have to understand something about the development of Jewish theology up until the time of the New Testament. Now, the Hebrew word that was used for the word word was translated over into the Greek, and the Greek translation is the word logos. But the Hebrew word for word is memra, M-E-M-R-A. Now, when John says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John is not a Greek scholar. John is a Jewish Galilean fisherman. So when John is making his points right in the beginning of his gospel accounts, you need to understand where he is coming from. The Jewish theologians all down through the Old Testament period developed a theology about the memra, or that word for word, when it talked about the word of the Lord and the word of Jehovah. Now, those rabbis developed a theology, and their theology was that the word word had a very special meaning. Now, remember that the Old Testament was almost exclusively written in the Hebrew language. But with time, the dominant language changed to Aramaic, and the Jewish rabbis began to translate the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures into the Aramaic language for the people. Now, these Jewish translations from Hebrew to Aramaic became known as the Targumim, T-A-R-G-U-M-I-M. That means the rabbinical translations. That's all it means. Now, what made these Targumim, or these rabbinical interpretations, so unique? Well, instead of merely translating the Hebrew scriptures word for word, the rabbis, down through the centuries of the Old Testament, added their interpretations to the Hebrew scriptures. For example, the original Old Testament passage in Isaiah chapter 52:13 reads in the Hebrews as follows: "My servant shall prosper." But in those Aramaic translations that the Jewish rabbis did, those Targumim of the rabbis, it reads, "My servant, the Messiah, shall prosper." Can you see that the rabbis added the phrase "the Messiah" because they understood the passage to be speaking about the coming Jewish Messiah? So the Targumim were interpretive translations of the original Hebrew text when the rabbis translated it into Aramaic. Well, with more time, the dominant language changed to Greek, and your New Testament was originally written in the Greek language, including John's gospel account. Even though John wrote in Greek, he was not thinking in terms of Greek philosophy or Greek thought. He was thinking in terms of Jewish thought. Remember that John was neither a Greek philosopher nor a Jewish theologian. John was a Jewish fisherman who was writing about the deity and the kingship of Christ. Now, the Jewish rabbis gave great attention to the word word whenever it appeared anywhere in the Old Testament writings. Now, the word, as I told you, for word in the Hebrew language is the word davar, D-A-V-A-R. The Aramaic equivalent for the Hebrew word davar is the word memra, M-E-M-R-A. The Greek word for davar or memra is the Greek word logos. So, davar in Hebrew equals memra in Aramaic equals logos in the Greek. Now, why is this word study so important for you to understand? Because when the Jewish rabbis translated the Hebrew Old Testament into the Aramaic Targumim, every time they encountered the Hebrew word davar, they would translate it as the Aramaic word memra. And the Jewish rabbis developed an entire theology about the word translated in the Aramaic as memra. The rabbis taught seven things about the memra, or the word word, as it is used in the Old Testament. The first was that the memra was in fact a person. It had mind, emotion, and will. It was highly personified. In Psalms 147:15, the word memra is personified as having feet that run swiftly to perform a task. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11, the word memra is personified to accomplish a specific deed in that it will not return until the task has been performed. Then the memra, secondly the rabbis taught, was the means that God used to make his covenants. In Genesis 15:1, the Abrahamic covenant was signed and sealed by the word, or memra, of Jehovah. The memra, thirdly, was the means of salvation. Now, this is based upon Hosea 1:7, I, Jehovah, will save them by the word, memra, of Jehovah. Now, those are the first three things that the rabbis taught about the word, or memra. And you'll have to come back in our next broadcast and we'll cover the other four before we get into John's Gospel and I can explain to you exactly what John's introduction of Christ actually means from the Jewish Messianic perspective.
Thank you, Tom. Tom was a businessman for about 30 years, but left business to teach the things that he wished he'd been taught as a lay disciple of Jesus. If you'd like to find out how you can attend one of his various Bible studies or classes around the city, or order today's tape, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. That number is 901-685-3385, or visit us on the web at www.truthseekersfellowship.org, and make plans to join us again next time for The Lay Disciple.